This is the Quality News Network. In Iraq today, the U.S. military said the five-day trend of decreasing violence following the end of the Muslim holy month of Ramadan is holding. However, one more U.S. soldier has died, bringing the death toll in October to 97. U.S. forces in Baghdad are still searching for an American soldier who was kidnapped earlier this week. They're looking in the Sadr City area, a slum controlled by the anti-American cleric Muqtada al-Sadr. NBC News reports that in the Persian Gulf, coalition naval forces are on heightened alert. British authorities have cited a possible al-Qaeda threat against oil refineries in the Gulf. In southern Afghanistan today, 14 villagers riding in a pickup truck were killed by a roadside blast. A NATO spokesperson said the explosion was caused by an anti-tank mine. Around the outskirts of Paris, police are preparing for possible violence to mark the one-year anniversary of the riots in immigrant neighborhoods. Cars and four empty passenger buses were torched yesterday. In Jerusalem today, Prime Minister Ehud Olmert compared Iran to Nazi Germany. His speech came after a new report indicated Iran has doubled its capacity to enrich uranium. Israel considers Iran the biggest threat to its existence. In the West Bank today, Israeli forces killed three Palestinians in a raid of a refugee camp. The three had approached Israeli troops with weapons. Near Palm Springs, a Santa Ana wind-driven wildfire named the Esperanza Blaze has grown to nearly 24,000 acres. Authorities say it was started deliberately, and Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has issued a $100,000 reward for the capture of those responsible. He also declared a state of emergency in Riverside County. Hundreds of residents have been forced to evacuate the area, while 1,100 firefighters have been called to battle the blaze. Many Colorado residents are digging out of the snowstorm that left between 2 to 4 feet of snow in some areas. Highways have been reopened and traffic is moving again. In Washington, a former Bush administration official convicted in the Jack Abramoff lobbying scandal was sentenced today. He addressed the judge before he received his 18-month sentence. The IRS commissioner is ordering the agency to delay collecting back taxes from victims of Hurricane Katrina until after the holiday season. He admits that it's to avoid negative publicities. And investigators now say that the E. coli bacteria which contaminated California's spinach fields in August may have come from wild pigs that live in the area. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news are coming up next.
Tune in to the Quality News Network on election night to learn the results of perhaps the most important midterm elections in our nation's history. QNN will go beyond the scorecard reporting of the numbers. We will delve into the reasons why America voted the way we did and what it may mean for our future. Over the past 6 months, QNN has conducted over 215 interviews with candidates in the 2006 elections. All of the candidates are challengers for House, Senate, and gubernatorial seats from all parties from all 50 states. You can hear these interviews at qualitynewsnetwork.com. These are the people who have carried the banner of democracy during this vital election campaign, and they will be joining us on the air to talk about their races, why they won or lost, and what they learned about the process and the voters. So tune in to the Quality News Network on election night and learn where we are going from those who are going to lead us. Now back to the news.
A 58-year-old billionaire software engineer may be the next space tourist. He is reportedly paying between $20 and $25 million to go to the International Space Station in March. A reminder this weekend, it's time to move your clocks back by 1 hour. In the third quarter, U.S. economic growth slowed to a 1.6% rate, the worst level in 3 years. The Commerce Department says the slumping housing market is largely responsible for the slowdown. The University of Michigan Survey of Consumer Sentiment found that U.S. consumers' mood brightened in October more than expected, mostly because of lower gasoline prices. China's biggest bank launched the world's largest initial public offering of stock today. Microsoft posted an 11% increase in its quarterly earnings. United and American Airlines have both raised their fares by $6 on some round-trip flights to offset high fuel prices. However, Southwest Airlines said it will not go along with the fare hike. In Georgia, the last Ford Taurus rolled off the assembly line today. The Atlanta area plant stopped production and nearly 2,000 employees lost their jobs. And Chevron reported its third quarter profit rose to $5 billion, a record for the oil company. Light sweet crude is trading at $60.75 a barrel. And near the close of Wall Street, the Dow is down 73 points, the Nasdaq down 29, and the S&P 500 is down 12. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Bramov. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
Roll up your sleeves and put on your gloves, because the work is just beginning.
Monday warrior, me's right. Today's Tom Sawyer, me's right.
It's time to turn the conversation to taking back America. From the crusaders who have drained our treasury, created needless wars, and expect the working people to pay for their billionaires' games, it's time for the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Brought to you by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They are building the American dream each and every day. You can get in on the program by dialing in to 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And now, your host, Bruce Birch. All right, everybody. No, it ain't Bruce Birch. Guess what? Coming to you from Sydney, Australia, John Fox here. I'm not quite as bright-eyed and bushy-tailed as I expected. Had a friend come over last night, you know, and it just got a little late, but I'm so glad to be with you. You know, keeping this, helping keep the mighty seat warm for the one, the only Mr. Bruce Birch, who's taking a bit of a break at the moment. But, geez, seems like ages since I've been on air. Moved house, done all this kind of stuff, and we got stuff to talk about. But you know, as you know, this is conversation radio, so you know, don't forget to get on the phone lines. We're just gonna do this as kind of, you know, a bit of a free form Friday. You know what I mean? Had a couple of original ideas, had an interview scheduled that didn't quite pan out, but I think we'll be able to bring that to you one of those days that I'll be doing next week. All right. I'm just going to go straight for this one, because it's rare that, you know, you're ever going to find me agreeing with Mr. John Howard, our wondrous Prime Minister here in Australia, so... you know, an extreme lesson in how not to do your embattled community any good. Now, I imagine you've heard about about Mufti, this, you know, the Sheikh Hilali here in Australia and his comments about women who aren't covered are basically like exposed raw meat. And, you know, can you blame the flies? And he was basically justifying saying that women who are sexually assaulted asked for it unless they were wearing the garb. And as you can imagine, well, like, you know, you've seen the headlines. I mean, you know, we've had a hard enough time with you know, kind of like race relations here in Sydney, and what makes this so much more disappointing to me is that this sheik has really done some great boundary breaking kind of things. You know, he's always been controversial, but. You know, there was a truck driver here, an Australian truck driver who was kidnapped last year. You probably remember. Well, this guy was, you know, really involved with getting the talking together that got the guy released. You know, he showed real leadership in his own community after the Cronulla riots. You know, and it's just, this is just so disappointing. And I mean, there are calls for him to be deported and all this other stuff. And I don't know if you can really deport somebody for their comments, but I mean, this was just, you know, getting away, you know, away even. Okay. I don't know. Part of me says, now, you've actually relocated to what is world-renowned as a beach and surfing culture. You know, I mean, I don't mean to get, but, I mean, come on. You know, just think a little. All right. I'll come back to this. I got a couple of articles relating to it, but I want to go actually to the phones. We have Susan from Columbia City on the line. Susan, how are you? Welcome to the Bruce Birch Radio Program.
Hi, John. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing real good actually. I'm in a real good mood. I'm a little tired, but you know, really good mate of mine came by last night, and we don't get to catch up that often. And it was just, it was just a really, really good night. What can I tell you? And what can I do for you?
Well, I called in about that that article about the Muslim cleric.
Yeah.
I'd never been referred to as a piece of meat. It was a unique feeling. You know, an old broad like me.
there's a healthy way to look at it, Susan. I hadn't really quite thought of you found a positive in the situation. What can I say? Well, even John Howard didn't, at least what I saw in the clips last night. Johnny didn't get really all crazy, but he kind of had a very kind of shaking his head thing of going, idiot.
This guy has shot himself in the foot big time.
Well, and we're getting mixed signals, unfortunately, from the Muslim community, the Lebanese community that actually hires or whatever this guy. And so they had a review of it, and they're saying that he's been taken out of context and he's apologized, and they said that he was actually quoting someone else. But is that really a good thing to be quoting right now? I mean,
mm-hmm.
and so they've supposedly there's a real split in the community, but they've decided not to fire him.
Yeah.
But I don't think. I don't think that the community at large, the Muslim community at large, is happy at all.
I'm kind of wondering if the reason he didn't do it was to foster a sense of persecution.
He's a smart guy. I'm saying stupid. This is a stupid thing to do, but the smartest people are capable of doing a stupid thing once in a while.
Well,
but
if you say to your people, everybody is against this, see, they are all against this, see what they're saying about me, then they listen to you, and they listen only to you. And that's really very, very smart.
Well, yeah, I have a feeling, that, and this is, I have nothing to base this on, but this is just a gut feeling, just because I think from what I know of the Lebanese community in Sydney, they are very, very responsible, because, like I said, the Cronulla riots, these people really stepped up,
mm-hmm.
And what I thought was, just to give you an idea of how hard they work on race relations here, when it becomes necessary. After the Cronulla riots, which I know you must have heard about because it was all over the news for a couple of weeks. Well, they basically came out and made a call that all the Muslim grandmothers needed to take back their rightful place as head of the household and pull these kids in.
Oh, boy.
Because the parents were too busy having to work the day job, and so for no other reason, in some great ethnic traditions where grandma runs the roost,
mm-hmm.
they've come up and said, come on, grandmas. And sure enough, within 48 hours of that call going out, the retaliation attacks stopped. because they just called for some control just for a minute and everybody to just take a bloody breath.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think they're probably finding a way out of this to try and save face. And I think maybe not too far down the road, this guy might just, you know, step down.
Yeah, because your point about the surfing culture in Australia is very, very well made. Seeing somebody in that area during the hot month, you know, during December, wearing a bikini is nothing.
Yeah, yeah, you know, absolutely,
it's
absolutely,
very, and revealing clothes, and you cannot have kids going out and saying, "Oh, well, I can rape this woman; she's not fat." No,
it's
not going to play.
No, it's not, and it's reprehensible. I think in every single society and culture. And so, I mean, this one just goes without question. And so, you know, we'll see what happens. I don't think we're finished with this story quite yet. I have a feeling that the Lebanese community is going to, you know,
very
try and try and come up with a way that maybe even orchestrates it and plays the drama for the media in the right way to make sure that the message is getting across.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm hoping, you know, but the word is that even though they made this decision, you know, it's a 50-50 split right down the middle from what I understand.
I was rather shocked by the whole story because I always figured Australia was very. I always figured Australia was much too civilized for that.
Well, I tell you, it's a little known fact here, and every once in a while it rears its ugly head. Is, you know, there was still the White Australia policy until the 1970s. It was actually legislation. Basically that there was legislation that was to guarantee a White Australia.
Oh, yeah.
This was all, you know, and it was only repealed in the 70s. So, you know, you still have remnants of those people still alive out there in the community.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, somebody's grandfather who was a neo-Nazi, and I've got some stuff on this actually a little bit later.
Yeah,
a friend of mine has taken Google to task and kind of won, but... I think we're kind of coming up on a break, but I so appreciate you calling in, Susan.
Really,
it's
nice
wonderful to hear from you.
Thank you.
No worries. Is that right, Bob? Are we coming up towards, like, first break time? You know, oh, yeah, we are. Okay, I haven't totally forgotten how to do this thing. So, hey, everybody, this is John Fox filling in for Bruce Birch here on a Friday afternoon, possibly where you are, Saturday morning where I am. Sun is bright and lovely. Get in on the program at 1-877-443-2366, and we'll be back right after this on the Head On Radio Network.
The ones who start to mold a new reality closer to the heart, closer to the heart.
You're listening to The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
A routine visit to the pediatrician costs more than a minimum wage worker earns in one full day. For nearly a decade, Virginia's minimum wage has remained pitifully low at $5.15 an hour.
I'm a single mom and I have to work two jobs just to pay the rent and put food on the table. It's really hard.
America needs a raise. Help raise the minimum wage. Sign the petition at www.vafairwage.org. Sponsored by the Virginia AFL-CIO, working hard for all working people.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at headonradionetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
Headonradionetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at headonradionetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Hi. LOL. Well, AISI, it was NBD.
Kids are spending more and more time online, and even if you heard what they're typing, you probably wouldn't know what they're saying.
Some PPL, whatever. ISS.
They chat online in a language full of acronyms, and unless you use it every day, you won't understand it.
YIWGP.
You won't know what they're saying or who they're saying it to. A lot of times, neither do they. Last year, 1 in 5 children was sexually solicited online. So here's an acronym for you. HDOP. Help Delete Online Predators. To protect your kids' online life and to get a full list of acronyms kids are using, call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Alright, everybody, welcome back to the Bruce Birch radio program here on a Friday afternoon. John Fox warm in the chair. And just to follow up a little bit on this whole nonsense going on here in Australia, as of today, it says, at the Sydney Morning Herald, Muslims set to dump defiant Hilali after outbursts. So it says here, Muslim leaders will stage an emergency summit and could move to sack the defiant Mufti of Australia, who yesterday declared his wish to rid the world of the White House. I hadn't even gotten to this. I'd totally forgotten about this stuff. Adding fire to his claim that women invite rape by parading as uncovered meat, Sheikh Taj al-Din al-Hilali emerged from prayers at Lakemba Mosque and mocked media questions on whether he would resign. Quote, after we clean the world of the White House first, he said. Okay, so he didn't get the point, and maybe his arrogance is slightly too overreaching. Says police are worried too, still smarting over the handling of the Cronulla race riots. They're sending more than 35 officers, including members of the public order and riot squad, to a multicultural festival, which the Sheikh was due to attend at Fairfield Showground tomorrow. And the stomach turns, and the stomach turns. Like I said, I don't think that this guy is going to last for very much longer. But when we're living in such stressed out, divisive times as we live in, you know, at the moment, to now, to me, seemingly intentionally want to rile things up. It's not showing much leadership. I can't see any justifiable reason for doing something like this, you know, for saying something like this. So far I actually think John Howard's handled it well, and you're not going to hear me say that very often. But it's kind of a no-brainer anyway. He's not a stupid guy. He's a smart politician. But I wonder how much damage this is going to do to race relations here. Hopefully, you know, we won't end up with any stupidity, because we do have a problem with neo-Nazis here. And they like to, shall we say, you know, arc things up from time to time. And interesting how you obviously on the day can't tell. All reports back on the day of the Cronulla riots had said that the police, for being in a really tough situation, handled themselves really, really quite well. Well, the police chief has just been sacked. A report's come out that just has slammed him, but I'm hearing that this thing's pretty politically motivated, this report. The right-wing media came out here and did their thing. We got it here. We've fallen down that same right-wing media cesspool that has devoured the United States. So, you know. I'm going to get into the neo-Nazis maybe even after the bottom of the hour. You know, people in leadership positions really, really need to think a little bit more before they speak, especially in just such an embattled community. It just spins me out. Totally spins me out. You know, end up just, getting caught in a circle of speechlessness and stuttering, sounding like Ed Koch, you know. How am I doing? Just insane. It's absolutely insane. And I'm going to move on. Okay, after the break, I'm going to talk about a mate of mine who is heavily involved in an outfit called Fight Them Back. Took Google on over some of the content of some blogs. So, we're probably going to be coming up on the bottom of the hour break here pretty soon. And don't forget, you can get in on the program by dialing 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-443-2366. Love to get your calls. This is a Freeform Friday. John Fox filling in for Bruce Birch on the Head On Radio Network. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program, and we'll be back right after this.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Great universities never set out simply to reflect the communities in which they exist. Rather, they serve as seedbeds of change in an ever-changing world. They take pride in being places where truth is freely sought, where inquiry is encouraged, where new ideas and new ways can develop and flourish at the expense of the old. When a true academic community, instructors and students together, acts and expresses itself freely, without fear, all of society benefits. Concord University is already using this new set of challenges as opportunities to serve in ways that strengthen its dedication to community, its commitment to service. In graduate education, in professional services to working professionals, in highly respected fields of study where standards remain high, in continuing to place graduates in the very best professional and graduate schools in the nation, Concord University remains the very best higher education bargain in this region. Don't ever allow yourself to accept anything less. Concord University, still since 1872, an education you can put to work. For an appointment, call 1-800-344-6679.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, "Everything's going to be okay." That place is called America, where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America.
Everybody, welcome back to the Bruce Birch radio program. John Fox filling in at the moment. And what are we talking about? Well, we're talking about, I don't know, stupid people. I guess we do a lot of that. On the other side of the old race relations thing, a friend of mine by the name of Brian Stokes, who is the proprietor of MachineGunKeyboard.com, and he actually reported to Fourth Estate Radio in the aftermath of the Cronulla riots. And he's one of the founding members of a website down here called Fight Dem Back. And you can find them at fightdemback.org. And these guys basically go after neo-Nazi groups. And, you know, I know one of the things that drives Brian in this is it's, you know, the neo-Nazi groups go after young men who might feel a bit disconnected, a bit, you know, searching for something kind of thing, and, you know, this is where they do their recruiting. So, and I mean, we're not just talking about, you know, doing some whining on some blogs and whatnot. We're talking, like, actual feet on the street type activism, shall we say, and news gathering. You know, you're a web-savvy person, obviously. You're listening to this program. You're listening to this network. And, you know, on Blogger, there's, you know, a little flag button, you know, if you, you know, it's a free service, you know. It's kind of like, you know, freedom of speech and all that. But yet there's still kind of things regarding taste and, you know, and I mean, believe me, I use that lightly, but, you know, adult content, violent content, racist content, right? But anyway, you know, if you come across a site that's just so over the top, you can flag it. It seems as though Blogger just doesn't pay attention whatsoever. And there's a whole bunch of neo-Nazi websites, just from people based in Australia and New Zealand, and that's where Fight Them Back kind of does their thing. And some of these websites were involved in passing on information and the communication that led to the severity of the Cronulla riots. You know, and I mean, these are like really, really outwardly racist organizations. And here in Australia, you know, to basically call for a hate crime is illegal. Just illegal. So anyway, after 2 long days' work with the Sydney Morning Herald, there was some results. Just pulling from the Sydney Morning Herald here, racist blogs targeting minority groups in Australia are springing up on the web, but Google's Blogger, the service some are hosted on, refuses to take them offline, says the anti-racist lobby group. Blogger is absolutely insensitive to complaints about racist and neo-Nazi content, said Brian Stokes, co-founder of Fight Them Back, a group that monitors the activities of racist, fascist, and other such offenders operating in Australia and New Zealand. Mr. Stokes said his group had reported numerous discriminatory blogger journals to Google, both through the flag button and what appears on each blog and an email form that Mr. Stokes said was buried in their site, very hard to find. Now, he mentions that, you know, there are other outfits that react rather quickly, you know, to these kind of things. So, anyway, long story short, a little bit of pressure from the Sydney Morning Herald. I do believe that if my show post information was sent out properly, there should be a link to this on the Horn. That they finally got these sites flagged. Now, what I found interesting is I blogged this on my own blog, you know, because I thought this was a good thing, and all that happens is, instead of having the hateful, god awful content come straight up in your face, you get kind of a formatted Google page that says that this site may contain offensive content. So I mean, no one's been censored. Now, what I do find funny about this is that there's, you know, on the article at the Sydney Morning Herald, there's a big old picture of Brian in front of his keyboard monitor. Now, one of the sites that they were going after posted this whingy, and I won't even bother giving you the website address. I wouldn't honor these people with any traffic. So they put up a somewhat silly picture of Brian. I guess it's some sort of, you know, animal rights something or whatever, because he's next to somebody in some sort of animal costume. You know, printing his name and the you know, suburb in which he lives, thinking that this is going to be some sort of threat. Well, you know, when there's, you know, a posed shot clearly on one of Australia's largest paper websites, and I do believe in the print version. Sorry. You know, nice try, but anyway. Probably a bit petty, but I guess when you know these people, you notice these things. But couple of the sites that they talk about here. What does he have here? Bear with me a second. Says it publicly endorses. So one of the things, give you an idea of the type of sites. There's the Patriot Alliance Down Under blog. One of these things. Who the proprietor, Ben Weirhaman or something, convicted for being a getaway driver in a racist graffiti attack by a neo-Nazi group, the Australian Nationalist Movement. You know, they also link to a hate group racist board game. Fun for the whole family. And we've had, you know, violence by these guys, and they seem to move from suburb to suburb. There's some weirdness that goes on there. Seems to follow certain kind of political situations in the local councils as well, that seems to kind of parallel along with it, but enough said. Just interesting how they're taking over all taking over basically the Aboriginal areas on the coast, and certain legislation seems to be changed in their wake. Google has refused to divulge where their servers are located, so this is part of what makes legislating this stuff so tough, you know. But I think Australian law actually dictates that it doesn't matter where the servers really are, if you are producing the content from Australia, you can be done in. And, I mean, these people, I'm telling you, these people are ugly, 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 ugly people. So, you know, anyway, enough on that. You can check out Fight Them Back at fightthemback.org, and they are they do some pretty damn good work. They helped organize the march that we did in the weeks after the Cronulla riots, that was basically, you know, the rest of Australia kind of marching, saying, you know, we're not all racist twits. And let's everybody just chill out. I do have to laugh, though, when you see a friend of yours being referred to as an online vigilante in the mainstream media. A little bit more Australian stuff, but this is Australian-American stuff. I don't know if you all heard there, but there were media reports last week that Vegemite had been made illegal for importation in the United States. They were searching Australians in the airports for contraband Vegemite. And I just thought that this was just beyond ridiculous. But, you know, you got to give things a couple of days. You know, part of me just said, this can't be true. Suddenly, which wasn't in the television news, at least that I saw, Australian authorities launched an investigation into the report. And so they started asking questions, and both the Australian authorities and the U.S. government have said it's all bogus. So, expats from Australia and the States Never fear, never fear, never fear. Via both governments, you can still get your black stuff. I personally can't stand the stuff, but as you know, Bob and I were talking about this last night when we were having a chat. You know, it's kind of like, you know, lutefisk. I think it's one of the things that you need to be like raised on, or else you're just not going to get it. I'm telling you right now, this septic boy don't get it. My wonderful partner Gail loves the stuff. You can have it. But, anyway. So, no, never fear, never fear. Your Vegemite will still be there. All right, folks, we're gonna take a little break. And don't forget, you can get in on the program by dialing 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-443-2366. John Fox keeping the chair warm for Mr. Bruce Birch. Looking forward to his return. I have no idea when that is, but hopefully soon. But anyway, I'm loving sitting in here. The chair that, you know, geez, was being filled by Dr. Bill yesterday. Is that guy just like a vitamin pill for the brain? Anyway, we'll see you on the other side of this break. John Fox on the Head On Radio Network.
A gallon of gas and a gallon of milk. That's what 1 hour of minimum wage work will buy. For nearly a decade, Virginia's minimum wage has remained pitifully low at $5.15 an hour.
When the plant closed, I took this job paying just a little more than the minimum wage. But I still can't support my family. Somebody should raise the bar.
America needs a raise. Help raise the minimum wage. Sign the petition at www.vafairwage.org. Sponsored by the Virginia AFL-CIO, working hard for all working people.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also listen to over at progressive.org. George Bush seems to think that if he just uses the word victory enough times, he wins the war in Iraq. At his Wednesday press conference, Bush kept to the script of the propagandist when he said the American people will support the Iraq war only if they think victory is possible. So Bush went out and repeated the word victory at least 10 times, and he used the phrase achieve victory at least 8 times. But repeating the word victory does nothing to ensure victory, and mischaracterizing the conflict is no way to attain it either, and that's what Bush also did at his press conference. This young government, he said, has to solve a host of problems created by decades of tyrannical rule. And he added a little bit later, there's a lot of people still furious about what happened to them during Saddam Hussein's period. But what about the people who are still furious at Bush for what's been happening to them since he invaded? The families of the 650,000 Iraqi civilians who may have died, the more than 1 million Iraqis who've become refugees, the millions of Iraqis without regular electricity, and the millions more without security. These grievances relate not to Saddam's brutal rule, but primarily to Bush's reckless invasion and feckless occupation. And that's why the occupation must come to an end now. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
We look to the day when you can live in freedom, and America and Iran can be good friends and close partners in the cause of peace.
See, this is where we get a really bad reputation. I live in a country where I'm not even sure if my vote's going to count in November. How free are you? How free are the people on the Gulf Coast? How free are the families that still grieve for the bodies dragged out of Aracoma and Sago? How free are they? He throws around precious terms with precious little regard for them. How free are we that chose by a wide margin in the year 2000, November 2000, we chose a man named Al Gore to be the President of the United States? How free are we that we were saddled with this ignorant, hateful little man? How free are we? How free? I'm Bob Kincaid. Join me weeknights, 7 to 10 Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Bruce Birch Radio Program. John Fox filling in the seat all the way here, almost a day ahead of a lot of you here in Sydney, Australia, in the new studio, which is still kind of half being, you know, arranged and set up. It's going through its manifestations as we go. But you can get in on the program. Don't forget, this is Conversation Radio. I'd love to hear from you. 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-443-2366. And got an email from our good mate Luke. And this is great, man. Thanks for this one. Who loves Dave Letterman? I love Dave Letterman. Even if you think his shtick's getting tired, I'll tell you what, he pulls it out. I have not seen or heard or any of this, but it even reads good. From the New York Post, humorless Dave rips O'Reilly. It says, any lingering doubts that Dave Letterman detests Bill O'Reilly would be laid to rest tonight when the gap-toothed funnyman has the conservative Fox News powerhouse on his CBS Late Show and machine guns him with insults. Supposedly, O'Reilly comes out with a plastic sword to do battle with the liberal-leaning host, they say. An irritated Letterman cracks, oh, that's nice, that's cute, you come out with toys. Am I right about one thing? You guys over there at Fox and guys like Rush Limbaugh, you guys know it's all just a goof, right? You're just horsing around. You're doing it because you know it'll be entertaining. Letterman adds he's never actually seen a O'Reilly show because I dial up Fox and it's always The Simpsons. Supposedly, jackass O'Reilly tries to get things a little lighter and says, you know... that he and Letterman are on the same bowling league and asked whether he'd appear on Dancing with the Stars. But Letterman turns around and calls him a bonehead. I'm loving this. Starts shaking his fist and waving his arms at O'Reilly as the subject turns to the war in Iraq. Let me ask you a question. Was there more heinous, more dangerous violence taking place before America invaded Iraq? Or is there some more heinous, dangerous violence taking place now in Iraq? O'Reilly says, oh, stop it. And goes on to say, Saddam Hussein slaughtered 300,000 to 400,000 of his own people. Knock it off. It's not so black and white, Dave. And then he says, it's not so black and white, Dave. It's, we're a bad country. Bush is an evil liar. That's not true. Letterman shoots back at him. I didn't say he was an evil liar. You're putting words in my mouth just the way you put artificial facts in your head. Go Dave. I wonder what the audience response was like on this. Anybody see this? Has this aired yet? That's just insane. Or is this going to be tonight's? I guess this would be tonight's, huh? All right, everybody. Someone's got to get Dave and... if no one else gets it up, get it to me, and I'll get it on YouTube, on our YouTube channel. That's fantastic. Go, Dave. I saw the old show tape once. That was really cool. And I'm telling you right now, if anyone else out there has ever gone and seen the Late Show or the earlier predecessor ever taped, it's like a rock concert volume in that place. That band is loud. And brilliantly mixed production guys on that show just have always done an awesome job. They throw a lot of money in it, and that's what's funny about audio. It takes money. You sound as you spend. But anyway. Go, Dave, go, Dave, go, Dave. But why is it that that it's the funny men are the only ones that'll you know, forget that they have, you know, not forget that they have a set and go after these twits? I bet you, you know. Supposedly he says at the end, oh gosh, where's the time gone? I have no idea what I'm talking about, but I think you don't either. Go, Dave. Anyway. Oh, that's just awesome. That's just awesome. You know, we need more of that. We so need more of that. That's crazy. In the last break, there was the Progressive Minute, right? What is it? Is that what it's called? Yeah, the Progressive Minute. Saying, you know, it's time to get out of Iraq now. Well, that's starting to become the vibe of the Australian people, but that's not Howard's idea. You think over in the United States, you know, you've gone through all the different various reasons of why we invaded. We have to live through down here all the various reasons of why we're still connected at the hip to the United States. I mean, Australia didn't start this thing. That, you know, you figure you could kind of like leave the organization of the stupid and save face. But you know, we've had a multitude of reasons thrown at us. You know, first of course WMD and Australia needs, you know, is under real threat and all this other kind of stuff. But now, Johnny Howard says it's now to just maintain our friendship with the U.S. I mean, please. You know? Please. Friendship? Is this a friendship we really, 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 you know, want to keep feeding? You know, like Bob said numerous times, you know, what is it, the U.S. sneezes and the world catches a cold? Just to maintain our friendship. You know, I remember my mom said, you know, if your best friend jumped off the bridge, would you too? I mean, this is kind of the same thing. You've now been watching your friend shoot himself in the foot 20 times. You gonna do it too? Says Australian troops must stay in Iraq to maintain the country's friendship with the United States, Prime Minister John Howard says. And he says he accepted responsibility and stood by his decision to commit troops to Iraq. So terrible what ego does to one's brain function. Speaking about Australia's alliance with the U.S., he said friendships were most important and tested when they came under pressure. Alrighty, folks, we're coming up on the news. So straight after this, you'll be getting your fix of QNN, and we'll be back to do the second hour of the Bruce Birch radio program. John Fox filling in, keeping the chair warm, coming at you from Sydney, Australia. We'll see you on the other side of this here on the Head On Radio Network.
is the Quality News Network. In Baghdad today, the Iraqi Prime Minister and U.S. Ambassador issued a joint statement today. Iraq reaffirmed its commitment to a, quote, good and strong U.S. relationship. Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki had said earlier this week that America had no right to impose timetables on his country. However, today he said that, quote, issues must be resolved with timelines, end quote. In Iraq today, the U.S. military said one more U.S. soldier has died, bringing the death toll in October to 97. Republican Senator John McCain said in New Hampshire today that the United States should send 20,000 additional troops to Iraq. NBC News reports that in the Persian Gulf, coalition naval forces are on heightened alert. British authorities have cited a possible al-Qaeda threat against oil refineries in the Gulf. Saudi Arabia is also taking precautions to protect its interests. A United Nations conference concluded that women in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Somalia are becoming the targets of violence as they publicly speak out in defense of women's rights. The U.S. and Russia are leading a meeting next week in Morocco to address nuclear terrorism. The participating countries, including Britain, China, and France, will discuss how to keep extremist groups from obtaining nuclear materials. In Jerusalem today, Prime Minister Ehud Olmert said Iran's threats against Israel are like the Nazi Germany policies. His speech came after a new report indicated Iran has doubled its capacity to enrich uranium. Israel considers Iran the biggest threat to its existence. Around the outskirts of Paris, police are preparing for possible violence to mark the one-year anniversary of the riots in immigrant neighborhoods. Several cars and empty passenger buses have been torched. Near Palm Springs, a Santa Ana wind-driven wildfire has grown to nearly 24,000 acres. Yesterday, it trapped and killed four firefighters and critically injured a fifth. Authorities say it was started deliberately. Many Colorado residents are digging out of the snowstorm that left between 2 to 4 feet of snow in some areas. It was one of the largest storms the state has seen in October. In Washington, a former Bush administration official was convicted in the Jack Abramoff lobbying scandal. He was sentenced today to 18 months in prison. And the IRS commissioner is ordering the agency to delay collecting back taxes from victims of Hurricane Katrina until after the holiday season. He admits that's to avoid the negative publicity. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news are coming up next.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
Investigators now say that the E. coli bacteria, which contaminated California's spinach fields, may have been caused by wild pigs that live in the area. The nationwide E. coli outbreak caused the deaths of 3 people and sickened about 200. A 58-year-old billionaire software engineer will be the next space tourist. He is reportedly paying between $20 to $25 million to go to the International Space Station in March. A reminder this weekend, it's time to move your clocks back by 1 hour. In the third quarter, U.S. economic growth slowed to a 1.6% rate, the worst level in 3 years. The Commerce Department says the slumping housing market is largely responsible for the slowdown. However, the University of Michigan's survey of consumer sentiment found that U.S. consumers' mood brightened in October more than expected, mostly because of lower gasoline prices. United and American Airlines have both raised their fares by $6 on some round-trip flights to offset higher fuel costs. In Georgia, the last Ford Taurus rolled off the assembly line today. And Chevron reported its third-quarter profit rose to a record $5 billion that exceeded analyst estimates. Light Sweet Crude is trading at $60.75 a barrel, and at the close of Wall Street this week, the markets are all down. The Dow is down 73 points, the NASDAQ is down 28 points, and the S&P 500 is down 12 points. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramov. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
time for another hour of conversation radio on the Head On Radio Network. Where the callers are the experts. You're back with the Bruce Birch Radio Program. With your host, Bruce Birch. All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Bruce Birch Radio Program. John Fox filling in, keeping the chair warm. Whoa, for the man, runaway microphone, and, you know, get in on the program, 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-443-2366, and as usual, the program is being brought to you by the Mid-Atlantic Regional Carpenters. Thank you, boys and girls, we love you. Anyway, why do I feel like I got my FM radio voice going on? I don't know. Anyway, I got a good story here. As many of you out there know, especially folks in the chat room, hi chat room, hi mods, I moved house recently, and so in the process of that, no internet for like 2 weeks, and as a complete nethead, that it was an eternity. It was a bloody eternity. Anyway, so I was forced to watch the mainstream media in the morning for the news. Breakfast television. I've avoided it for, oh, geez, you know, almost 18 months or something. Anyway, you know, got to get the weather and stuff before the missus goes off to work. So, you know, I was thrown a complete surprise. So I turn on Channel 7's Sunrise program. And, you know, it's one of those Today Show kind of, you know, things. And they have Splash kind of like all through their news ticker thingy that they're doing this campaign called Cool the Globe. And so, you know, it's a bit of an eyebrow thing going for me. And so the hallmark kind of, you know, the flagship of the campaign was they were running a petition because there was this federal rebate. If you put solar panels on your home, you can get, like, you know, average cost at the moment about $12,000 to $15,000 Australian dollars to outfit a house with solar. And they had like a $4,000 rebate scheme going on. And very quietly, the anyway, sorry, I was paying attention to something in the production chat. So anyway, they were quietly going to phase out this rebate scheme, and for some way somehow, the folks at Sunrise kind of got word of this, and they thought it was ridiculous. So they set up this petition, and when I first started watching, there was some 20,000 signatures on there. I had no idea how long they were doing it. So over the period of the next 2 weeks, they get to over 180,000 signatures on this thing. Now, you know, Australia's only 20 million people across the way, you know. I mean, it's not that huge. So, you know, within a couple of weeks on one of three morning television programs, they get this. They had all kinds of ministers and whatnot that were guests all signed on. And all of a sudden you saw in question time in the House and Senate, which you can actually watch on television here,
you see the opposition bringing this up, talking about this sunrise thing. And every day they're doing, I mean, to their credit, they're doing green issues stories and some really good ones and real ones. They're taking this really seriously. So, you know, the thing kind of moves and moves and moves and moves and moves. And yesterday we got confirmation that from a very nervous Treasurer Costello, who I don't trust, but he was pinned to a corner by the Sunrise program saying that the rebate scheme would continue. You know? And this is a great thing. But what's even more interesting is that they approved something like $400 or $500 million to build the world's largest solar power plant. Okay? It's going to have the ability to power 45,000 homes all from the sun. Now, this is by no means, you know, the whole kit and caboodle as far as getting off what is an absolute coal whore, Australia. This is a great step in the right direction, because over the past few years, you know, this country over here used to be like the world leader in solar technology for very, very simple reasons. We have, you know, more sun than any other place on the planet. In fact, we got too much. Our farmers are dying. Now, one of the things that helped to drive this is the fact that, you know, even though Australia and the United States, being the only countries that haven't signed on to the Kyoto Protocol, the Victorian government set a much higher carbon emissions target, you know, reduction target than anywhere else in the country. And they really, really, really hammered for this. And bang, suddenly, you know, suddenly we're gonna have the first of these power plants. Now, what was happening, too, unfortunately, is other countries and businesses in other countries had taken the issue of solar much more seriously. And so all this great talent from Australia was taken overseas. But this is an Australian technology. And so now there's going to be all this money invested into this new technology. Just imagine the how much better it'll be when Generation 2 plant comes out. But, you know, I'll tell you what... might not sidetrack to there quite yet. I'm going to end up throwing way too much information at people. But anyway, it's a wonderful first step. I just wish that the coal mafia would get out of the way, because that's a big problem here in Australia. That kind of the coal industry writes energy policy in this country, and they're constantly being referred to as the coal mafia. I saw a story on the news here not long ago where there was a gentleman in New South Wales who was generating, I think, 8% of an area's power with basically the methane off the sewage. You know, this is another free form of energy. And the only reason that he couldn't up the amount that he was putting back into the grid was because he'd have to pay a penalty to the coal industry in cash. What does that sound like to you? Sounds like a mafia to me. Hopefully this is going to be just, you know, the first step, you know, in all of this. Because there's, you know, not much time to fix this thing.
And, you know, sorry, sidetracked by the production chat again. I'm a little out of practice, guys, so bear with me. Anyway, we're about to take a quick break, and we've got somebody hanging on the line. I just wanted to wrap that story up, and we'll get to you straight after the break. And you're here on the Bruce Birch radio program. John Fox, keeping the seat warm. You can get in on the conversation at 1-877-443-2366. And this is the Head On Radio Network. We'll see you on the other side.
Gone international with Sly and Robbie on the track. Drums and bass. We get in wide. Get the last word. I don't understand the whole reason why you're telling us all that we need to unify. Rally round the flag and beat the drums of war. Sing the same old songs. We heard them all before. Telling me it's unpatriotic, but I call it when I see it. When I see it's idiotic, the tears of one mother are the same as any other. Drop food on your kids while you're murdering the fathers. But don't bother to show it on CNN. Brothers and sisters, don't believe them that it's a war against evil. It's really just revenge engaged on the poor by the same rich men. Fight terrorists wherever they be found. But why you not bombing Tim McVeigh's hometown? You can say what you want. Propaganda television. But all bombings is terrorism. Chase down all our enemies.
A routine visit to the pediatrician costs more than a minimum wage worker earns in one full day. For nearly a decade, Virginia's minimum wage has remained pitifully low at $5.15 an hour.
I'm a single mom and I have to work two jobs just to pay the rent and put food on the table. It's really hard.
America needs a raise. Help raise the minimum wage. Sign the petition at www.vafairwage.org. Sponsored by the Virginia AFL-CIO, working hard for all working people.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Paid for by the Republican National Committee. Ken Melman, Grand Cleagle.
Harold Ford. Don't share our Tennessee conservative family values.
Eustace, get that sheet off of your head and come in here right now, little mister.
Be here in a minute, Uncle Daddy. Harold Ford's gonna get our women's.
Hey, where are the white women at? Excuse me while I whip this out.
Oh, it's true. It's true.
It's true, it's true.
Oh, what a nice guy.
Bob Corker for Senate. It's an 18th century thing. You wouldn't understand.
Welcome back, everybody. John Fox here on the Bruce Birch radio program. Hope you're having a good afternoon, evening, day, morning, whatever it is, wherever you are here on the great wide internet. But, oh, man. Eustace! Oh! Brilliant bit of work there, Bob. Brilliant bit of work. I love it. I love it. That's just, ah, oh, I got tears in my eyes. That was too bloody good. Ah! Oh. Oh, that's just too funny. Anyway, all right, going straight to the phones, coming out of North Dakota, we got Gunny Bob. How you going there, matey?
Hello, my friend John.
How you been? Long time no speak.
Yeah, long time no speak. Long time. I'm trying to kennel up a dog right now. Get in here. Get my kennel. Get in here. No, he's been a bad puppy. He started being a bad puppy.
Uh-oh, what was he up to?
Well, he was tearing up the paper. You know, tearing
Uh-oh.
Up the papers, you know, kind of like, you know, shredding the evidence, you know.
I was just going to ask, you know, what part of the paper and whose picture was on it?
Well, he was,
what can...
hey, it was any evidence at all.
No, so aside from the dog tearing the paper up, what can I do for you tonight?
I just want I haven't had the chance to speak to you since goodness gracious a long time ago.
And I haven't been on air much.
I wanted to say something to you, John. What you said.
Yeah,
tonight,
yeah.
Hey, are we being bugged again?
It might just be a little bit of the back and forth of the long internet connection to here, so I'll just be quiet and let you speak. Go, sir.
Okay. And don't call me sir again. I earned every stripe I got.
Let's not go down here. I do that all the time. I told you it's one of those things that's just...
And I love you for it. I really do. I love you for it. But
Yeah, Ben. Love you too. So what's up?
Here's what I got to say. Okay? What you guys are doing down there fighting them Nazis over there may help us fight the Nazis we got over here.
Well, and there's a lot of connection with American neo-Nazi groups with these websites. So actually, a lot of what Fight Them Back does and DARP and Brian and the people that really, really are the heart and soul of that thing, they really quietly are doing some very, very real and effective work in exposing these people and also really working on the tolerance level. It's just, it's really amazing what I've watched them do.
Well, there was another guy. What is it? Michael J. Fox? Is that...
Yes.
Is that not the same thing as John Fox?
No.
But at least, hey, he came out and he spoke the truth. The man is suffering.
No kidding. And I mean, just the sheer, just god awful tactics of Rush Limbaugh and that lot going after this guy when, you know, they're saying, you know, shouldn't he be held to, you know, he can be held to task, blah 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 blah. You know, and it's, you know, this is his, you know, American right as a citizen to convey his opinion. And what the hell is wrong with someone using their money to profess some, whatever it is?
Wrong thing.
You know? And I mean, he's a brave guy. I mean, his
wrong,
testimony,
John,
in front of
you're
the
wrong.
Senate.
You're absolutely wrong, John.
What?
It's not his opinion. It is his right to speak the truth, and he was...
This is right.
It's not an opinion if it's the truth, and that's... We got
well,
to get that across.
Opinion... Well, when I say kind of like opinion because, you know, he makes candidate referrals, you know, and that kind of thing. And I agree with him. I agree with him. I'm not taking any issue with anything that he said. But I just consider him just so unbelievably brave for, you know.
Brave?
What he's
dying. His body is killing him. He's just full of hope. And he hopes that we have an administration in the future that will take care of people like him with stem cell research and do something that really helps humanity and stop this Nazi thing that's driving all of the economies of this earth and all of the peoples of this earth to hate one another. It's time that we just stand up and fight the Nazis. You said it when in the early part of this show. We've got one thing left on this earth to do, and that is just destroy the Nazis. Get rid of them. We don't need them. They have told us they're going to get rid of us. They have told us that. They don't like anything. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I got off on a rant.
No. That's all right, Gunny. Actually, no, that's all right because you know it's such a touchy thing when you bring it up. But I have to say that just because of my connection with people who are you know kind of part of it, I had no idea how kind of really really entrenched in some communities some really really racist right wing. White power organizations were in Australia. I had no idea. And then suddenly I learn about the White Australia policy still being in effect, you know, in the 70s. And then I start to think, okay, right.
Yeah.
I see it. I see why this is still here because you have the grandkids of folks with these views still.
The baby Nazis, you know? I mean...
Well, that's basically what you see here.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing here. You get that Rush Limbaugh and these Bushes. These, you know, hey, I love Jesse's. I love Jesse's statement back in the 80s. He said, keep out the Bushes. Keep out the Bushes. That is Jesse Jackson. My dear friend, my good... I'd kiss the man on the lips if he was in front of me. And he's a black man, and I'm a white man. But he is a true Democrat. He may not, and he may play some of the games with the, what do you call them people, the ones that think they run the earth, the corporatists?
Yeah.
Jesse plays games with corporatists. And I love him for it. It's kind of like what my good friend Brad Brown said back down in downtown, okay? And you know, some of my friends back in the 60s that these punks have never even been with. They don't even understand them. They don't know them. I'm living in North Dakota, and I'm in pure white bread country. And when I meet a black brother up here, I am so happy to be with him. It's just like I'm back home and we're talking talk. And these people don't know how to talk the talk, and they sure the hell can't walk the walk.
Well, you got it there, man. You got it there, man. You know what? I am up on top of the bottom of the hour break, man. But it's so good to hear from you. And you take care of yourself.
Well, I always do, and I got me a dog. I can always send a dog just before I send a 308 caliber in their direction.
All right, Gunny, thanks for joining us. All right, everybody, we got to get
John Fox.
To this.
Love you much.
Love you too, man. We got to go out to this break. It's the bottom of the hour. That was Gunny, and we'll be back on the Bruce Birch Radio Program on the Head On Radio Network.
I don't know. universities never set out simply to reflect the communities in which they exist. Rather, they serve as seedbeds of change in an ever-changing world. They take pride in being places where truth is freely sought, where inquiry is encouraged, where new ideas and new ways can develop and flourish at the expense of the old. When a true academic community, instructors and students together, acts and expresses itself freely, without fear, all of society benefits. Concord University is already using this new set of challenges as opportunities to serve in ways that strengthen its dedication to community, its commitment to service. In graduate education, in professional services to working professionals, in highly respected fields of study where standards remain high, in continuing to place graduates in the very best professional and graduate schools in the nation, Concord University remains the very best higher education bargain in this region. Don't ever allow yourself to accept anything less. Concord University, still since 1872, an education you can put to work. For an appointment, call 1-800-344-6679.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also listen to over at progressive.org. Albert Einstein once said, "Nothing will end war unless the people themselves refuse to go to war." Well, we may be getting to that point in Iraq. The Pentagon is having an awful time recruiting. Thousands of U.S. soldiers have deserted. Iraqi war veterans are becoming more outspoken, and U.S. soldiers who are there agree. 72% of them in one Zogby poll said the U.S. should be out within the year. And that was back in February. Now, a group of 65 active duty members of the military have just come out publicly against the war, sending appeals to their members of Congress. Here's what one of those appeals says. "As a patriotic American, proud to serve the nation in uniform, I respectfully urge my political leaders in Congress to support the prompt withdrawal of all American military forces and bases from Iraq. Staying in Iraq," this soldier says, "will not work and is not worth the price. It is time for U.S. troops to come home." We ought to listen to that message. But instead, the message that's predominating in the media today is to send more troops to Baghdad. That's what Bush's top commanders want, and that's what the editorial writers at the New York Times want. More U.S. soldiers to act as sitting ducks. The soldiers on the ground recognize the futility of that mission. It's time we all did. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Here's a test for you. Listen and identify the following water-saving devices in your home. Ready? That's the sound of water-saving device number 54, your toothbrush. Turning the water off while you brush your teeth saves more than 1,000 gallons a year. Next, that's your clock. Water-saving device number 23. Use it to reduce your shower by 5 minutes and save nearly 9,000 gallons a year. Try this one. Right, it's water-saving device number 83, your washing machine. Washing full loads of laundry or dishes can save thousands of gallons of water each year. Last clue. That's you, logging on to wateruseitwisely.com, a fun website filled with hundreds of water-saving tips from your local water utility and the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water, use it wisely.
Welcome back to the Bruce Birch radio program as I'm playing air drums here in the Sydney studios. Great track, great track. Wow. This has just been flying by. Thanks, Kenny Bob. That was great. And, you know, I'm doing 3 days next week is the plan. And going to have a couple of guests, probably have them pre-recorded just because it's going to be early here. But I'm probably going to get Brian Stokes on, talk a little bit more about the stuff that they're doing and maybe some information, because I bet he knows a whole lot about what's going on related in the States. But anyway, and we are definitely going to hear from Mr. Tim Dunlop from RoadToSerfdom.com. I was going to get him on to speak about this whole... chic thing, blah, 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 blah. But we couldn't quite get that snuck in time, but he definitely wants to come on next week. And you should check out his writing. He's one of my favorite blogs to read. He's funny and factual, and he's got a good grasp of things. So that's Road to Serfdom, SURFDOM.com. And we're going to have him on, and maybe even more than once, and maybe try and work on getting him to be a regular contributor to the Head On Radio Network, because he's pretty bloody good. Anyway, just to go on about the environmental thing, there's another article out today or yesterday in the Sydney Morning Herald saying world economy faces ruin from climate change. Climate change could push the world into the worst recession since the Great Depression, with many countries facing economic ruin. A comprehensive British report on the effects of global warming will warn next week. Hate to throw a downer in at the end, but to me, this is issue number one, the environment. The report, written by former World Bank chief economist Sir Nicholas Stern and commissioned by the British Treasury, seeks to overturn conventional wisdom by insisting that fighting climate change will save, not cost, governments money. I saw the Australian representative to the there's a gathering, I can't remember where at the moment. Looking for it. But anyway, there is an economic forum going on at the moment. I can't remember where. Blah, blah, blah. But anyway, supposedly this report has just absolutely kind of been a sledgehammer on the head when it comes to conventional wisdom on economics and the environment. Now, I've been saying for years now, even long before I ever was on the radio, I used to just preach at gigs during the bump-in and the sound check. Talk politics while tuning my PA sometimes. Talk about a captured audience. But I've been saying this for years that, you know, if business wants to even survive, they need to get involved and actively, and some have. It's going to be interesting to see what happens when these representatives come back to their respective countries and see if this, you know, starts getting the point. The British Foreign Secretary, Margaret Beckett, said on Tuesday, this is not just an environmental problem, it is a defense problem. It is a problem for those who deal with economics and development, conflict prevention, agriculture, finance, housing, transport, innovation, trade, and health. The International Energy Agency predicts that U.S. $15 trillion of investment in new energy sources will be required during the next 15 years. The massive investment program that's ahead of us is an opportunity for us to move towards a zero-carbon energy system. The investment process is going to act quite possibly in the opposite direction to an economic turndown, Sir David said. So, you know, yeah, I got to hope that we're starting to get the point, you know. I can't even explain to you what's happening to Australian farmers. We are now in 5 years of drought. No significant rainfall in 5 years in, like, most of the country. The farms in the interior are just a disaster. Virtually all major cash crops like wheat and other things, complete failure. And there's so much mismanagement involved in all this, and it's so unbelievably tragic. And also really stupid to be growing things like rice and cotton in a drought-stricken island nation. But I mean, that's a whole nother issue, but they've been so short-sighted. But the people haven't. I really don't think that they have. But they, you know, it's just been ignored financially by this government because there's no better friend of the coal industry than the Howard government. It's pathetic. But anyway, don't have too much more time to get in on the program. And coming up shortly, the one, the only Bob Kincaid, who is geniusly producing this program. But you can get in on the program at 1-877-443-2366. Don't forget that. And, you know, I was really, really happy to see the fact that the mainstream media seems to have gotten on board. At least one network. And it's being seen. You know, I was saying about this whole Cool the Globe campaign that, the Sunrise program is done. And now they're talking something about actually making their entire program green. And I'm kind of curious to see what they mean by that. And they want to... I thought this was an interesting idea. And, God, imagine if you get someone, a network in the United States, to do something similar. They're considering putting together a team of experts from all sides of the environmental kind of spectrum and design an energy policy to which the government or the opposition can take and change, adjust, utilize for information, whatever, or, you know, just to at least give one to start discussion. And so they are now just suddenly, like within 2 days, starting to get this whole idea of actually using their program to design an environmental policy to actually close down all the coal-burning power plants in this country. And also, you know, they're trying to force feed the nuke option on us. And part of the bill that paid for this solar power station also includes money for, you guessed it, the grand myth, clean coal. Clean coal. Hey. Anyway, we got one more break before we wrap this thing up, before I hand it over to Bob Kincaid, and then we, you know, you never know what Bob's going to have. It's Friday. Could even turn into the front porch. You just never know. So this is John Fox filling in for Bruce Birch here on the Bruce Birch radio program on the Head On Radio Network. See you after this.
Symbols of democracy pinned up against the coast. Our house of bureaucracy surrounded by a moat. Citizens of poverty are barely out of sight. The overlords escape near evening, the people on the night. Morning brings the tourists, painting eyes and rubber necks. Perhaps a glimpse of the cowboy making the world a nervous wreck. It's a mass of irony.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive. The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network. Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fixed stuff. Did some art projects with the kids.
Cleaned up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed. And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I can do everything here.
Yeah! A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Bruce Birch radio program. Michael Hedges. Another one that left too soon. If you're not familiar with him, just go buy anything. Michael Hedges. Anyway, coming up very shortly, the one, the only, the master of disaster from the wonderful hills of West Virginia, Mr. Bob Kincaid, will be coming at you very, very shortly. And thanks for producing today, mate. This was good fun. Good fun. Looking forward to doing next week where we'll have guests. And some more, you know, hopefully slightly alternate content maybe, you know. I get different stuff, so I'll throw you some of that different stuff. And anyway, to check out more on fighting the fascists down here in Australia, you go to fightdemback.org or go and check out Weeze's site at machinegunkeyboard.com. And if you want to see an example on how to make oneself look like a fool, go to AnthonyLowenstein.com. I do believe that if there is a link directly from the FourthEstateRadio.com site, check out The Gift That Keeps on Giving. It's Anthony's response to a Mr. Danby. And just when you have a little time, because it's a little long, go and have a read. This is an example of how not to be media savvy and Mr. Danby just seems to just be a man with a vendetta. But anyway, just to show you how ugly things can get in the world. Anyway, so please check that out. And anyway, it's Anthony's birthday, I think, today. Happy birthday, mate. His book's already, myisraelquestion.com. You got to check this book out. I do believe you can order it from Australia and it'll be sent to you. very, very fascinating read. I'm just about finished with it, and maybe we'll get him on next week. That would be fun. We haven't talked to Ant in a while. He's another one that really is involved in another aspect of similar issues, shall we say. When I actually think about it, it seems like Australia actually has a pretty big problem when it comes to some of this stuff. But anyway, you know, this has been so much fun. This has been so much fun. What else we got? Oh, jeez. Have I fallen off that much? Anyway, I don't know if you haven't checked it out. We've got a YouTube channel now where we've got some little, and there will be many more and much more to come, like little video ads for the Head On Radio Network. So those of you that have websites and blog and whatnot can, if you feel like helping spread the word, you can embed these little videos, promo things, on your websites, because, you know, this is internet radio. You don't get the accidental listener. You got to be told. One of the things that makes it different, but it makes us appreciate every single listener that we pick up, because we know that it was no accident that you found us. You were looking for something, and we appreciate all of it. And I have yet to catch him myself, but I hear Cup of Joe is back and rocking on. Doing his form of the thing. So you got to check him out. Is he on tomorrow there, Bob? I don't even know what the schedule is. And Dr. Bill's going to be covering a couple days next week. So, you know, we don't do weekends. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's the weekend. Hey, man, you know, I get confused. Oh, and don't forget, it's that whole spring forward, fall back thing. We each do one. I don't remember which one it is this time. But we don't do weekends. You're right. It's Miller time. And anyway, I guess we can do some credits. As usual, all the programming on the horn is streamed and archived over at White Rose Society. Thank you, Ben Birch, for everything that you do. He doesn't send a bill, so you got to go by there and do the right thing. And the Mid-Atlantic Regional Carpenters, thank you so much for everything that you guys do. Peter Godbold at Godbold Computers, you keep the bits and bytes flowing. And we have a new contributor of support to the horn. And I guess it would be music coordinator or coordination coming now from B1 Louder Productions, Sydney, Australia. Thank you, Scott Barry. You are a legend. You will be feeling the effects of his donation to the horn very, very soon. It's not financial, but man, is it priceless. So priceless. And it's the support of these organizations, I think we don't kind of say it often enough, that make what we're doing happen as it happens. So anyway, you know, I've had such a ball today. Stick around. Bob Kincaid is just absolutely gonna rock your world. Agnes probably has a whole bunch of great music queued up, and I've just had a ball. We'll see you next week. This is John Fox filling in for Bruce Birch on the Bruce Birch radio program here on the Head On Radio Network. Have a great weekend. Good night.
Was a time I'll always remember. I could never forget. Reality came down around us like
some Western movie set. When the dust all settled, the sun shone so bright, and a great calm took over us like it was all gonna be alright. That's how it felt to be alive after the revolution. From Groton to Tacoma, on many a factory floor, the workers talked of solidarity and refused to build weapons of war. No more will we make missiles. We're gonna do something different. And for the first time, their children were proud of their parents. Somewhere in Gaza, a little boy smiled and cried. After the swung open, mothers hugged their sons. The Liberty Bell was ringing when the cops put down their guns. A million innocent people lit up in the springtime air, and Mumia and Leonard and Sarah Jane Olson took a walk in Tompkins Square, and they talked about what they do. The revolution. Debts were all forgiven in all the Neo colonies. Soldiers left their bases, went back to their families. A non-aggression treaty was signed with every sovereign state. All the terrorist groups disbanded with no empire left to hate. They all started planting olive trees after the revolution. George Bush and Henry Kissinger were sent off to the world court. Their plans for global domination were preemptively cut short. Their weapons of mass destruction were inspected and destroyed. Battleships dismantled, never again to be deployed. And the world breathed a sigh of relief after the tracks. Organic food was in the markets, no GMOs upon the racks. And all the billionaires had to learn how to share. Bill Gates was told to quit his whining when he said it wasn't fair. And his mansion became a collective farm after the couldn't think of what to say, so they all decided to live life for today. I spent a few years catching up with all my friends and lovers, sleeping till 11 home beneath the covers. And I learned how to play the accordion after the revolution.
This is a Quality News Network. Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki and the U.S. ambassador issued a joint statement today. In it, al-Maliki reaffirmed Iraq's commitment to a strong relationship with the U.S. Earlier this week, he said the U.S. had no right to impose timetables on his country, but today he said that, quote, issues must be resolved within timelines. The U.S. military reported today that one more U.S. soldier has died from wounds suffered yesterday, bringing the death toll so far this month to 97. In New Hampshire, Republican Senator John McCain said that the U.S. should send 20,000 more troops to Iraq. He also reiterated that he opposes a quick U.S. withdrawal from Iraq. In southern Afghanistan today, 14 villagers died in a roadside blast. A NATO spokesperson said an anti-tank mine caused the explosion, but it's not clear whether insurgents planted the mine or it was an old mine. Near Paris, 4,000 police are prepared to deal with any violence that erupts as protesters mark the one-year anniversary of riots in immigrant neighborhoods. Protesters have torched dozens of cars and six empty passenger buses over the last 2 days. In the West Bank today, Israeli forces killed three Palestinians on a raid in a refugee camp. The three approached Israeli troops with weapons, including a handgun and axe. Another was reportedly throwing stones at army vehicles. Near Palm Springs, firefighters continue battling a wind-driven wildfire that officials say was intentionally set. It's now spread over nearly 24,000 acres. Yesterday, it trapped and killed four firefighters in their fire engine and critically injured a fifth. Doctors say he has burns over 90% of his body, kidney failure, and lung damage, and his prognosis is not good. In Washington, a former Bush administration official has been sentenced to 18 months in prison. He was found guilty of obstruction and concealment charges in connection with the Jack Abramoff lobbying scandal. And Kellogg Brown and Root, a subsidiary